And I do have on the phone with me this afternoon, as promised, I do have Bev Jacobs and Sheena Joseph. But I first want to read the statement as we get into this discussion this afternoon. And this is from the president of the Native Women's Association of Canada. It says, the following is a statement from Lorraine Whitman, president of the Native Women's Association of Canada, marking Red Dress Day that is celebrated on May 5th to honor the memory of Indigenous women who have been lost to violence. On May 5th, red dresses will again hang from trees across Canada, moving with the breeze to symbolize their missing wearers, Indigenous women whose violent deaths leave empty garments and shattered families. Today, we stand in unity with those who have lost ones to this tragedy. We grieve for all of those women, girls, and gender diverse people whose lives have tragically been cut short, and we embrace those who are left behind to mourn. It's been 11 years since Métis artist Jamie Black created the first red dress public art installation at the University of Winnipeg to honor Canada's missing and murdered First Nations, Métis, and Inuit women. It was inspired by a demonstration she saw at Bukata, Colombia, in which women garbed in red gathered in public square to grieve for their loved ones who had disappeared. Since then, thousands of others across Canada and in countries around the world have been hanging red dresses in trees on this day to add their voice to the growing cry of horror as these crimes that the National Inquiry into Missing and Murdered Women and Girls has determined to be a genocide. But 11 years later, the deaths and the disappearances continue in this country and indeed across North America. 11 years later, the government has produced no national action plan to stop the violence. 11 years later, Indigenous women are no safer than they were on that day when Ms. Black hung that first red dress in Manitoba. The latest statistics say Indigenous women in Canada are still 7 times more likely than non-Indigenous women to die at the hands of a killer. This has to stop. Governments must take action. They have a legal and moral obligation to protect us. Today, my heart is with those who are aching for a lost mother, grandmother, sister, daughter, or auntie. We see your tears and cry along with you. Please know that the one you are missing will never be forgotten. And again, that was from the Native Women's Association of Canada, who issued the statement today, as we are drawing national awareness to this tragedy. And we're now gonna speak with Bev Jacobs, who is a lawyer, and she's been an advocate for this movement. She is right now the acting dean of faculty of law at the University of Windsor. And we're also gonna speak with Sheena Joseph, who is an advocate as well, and has been a part of the Gunungquashra movement of Love Starts With Us. So Scano, ladies, and thank you for taking some time out this afternoon to discuss this topic with our listeners.
Scano, Diane,
Nella. Let's first, you've heard the statement that I read, and let's start off by, you know, I'm interested in getting your perspective, because you both have been advocates and working on behalf of Indigenous women across Canada and in our own community. Where are you thinking things are standing right now with a lot of these issues?
Well, I think there's a whole layers, I think, of different movements. So I want to start with the positive. And I think the positive has been at the community level. So I think, you know, when I started, I first started with Amnesty International and the Stolen Sisters Report, and I met with families across the country, and that was in 2002, 2003. And I remember at that time meeting with family members who was the very first time ever speaking to anybody about their loss. And I remember the similarities of their voices when they said how much they felt alone. It's still very emotional just to go back to that time, because they didn't even have community support. They didn't have extended support even, you know, within their communities. But that's where I see the shift. I see a shift has happened over the years since then, that there has been now community support, and those families whose voices at that time were silent or not heard have been heard. And that's where I see the power of their voices and being able to come forward and sharing their stories, you know, sharing their pain, sharing their traumas in losing a loved one so violently, or still being missing. And, you know, every day they wake up hoping that they would hear something, you know, that's not like on a daily basis for years. So that I see as a really amazing, loving, powerful movement